God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, as I said before, is from both the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading today. There's some parallels here that are quite striking. As it was told King David, well, as the ark of the Lord came into the city, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Dear friends in Christ, kings don't run. Kings stride. Kings don't just throw something on. They are robed. And kings don't just grab a bite to eat. Kings dine. Kings are expected to be men of dignity and decorum. They're supposed to have regal behavior, regal composure. Therefore, kings certainly don't leap. Absolutely not. But in our text today, in our Old Testament reading, a king engages in some, well, not so regal behavior. King David is leaping. He's leaping because he's overjoyed. And one of his wives, Michal, well, thinks this is repulsively undignified. Others in the crowd, you know, let's be honest, others in the crowd are probably shocked at King David's behavior. But he doesn't care. He's overjoyed that the Ark of the Covenant is coming to Jerusalem. Now, you've probably heard about the Ark of the Covenant, know some things about it. It was a place that had been set apart for God's presence here on earth. It's a special gold-covered box on top of which sits the mercy seat. And in that mercy, it was on that mercy seat where they poured the blood sacrifice, or the high priest would pour the blood sacrifice to God on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of all the people of Israel. David, well, in the verses before this, he had wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, where the city of David, but what happened is that one of his generals, by the name of Uzzah, had stumbled and touched the ark, and the Lord, in his anger, had struck him dead. So David was a little terrified of bringing the ark to Jerusalem. So he brings it by, and they kind of stop where they're at, and they bring it to the house of Obed-Edom. And then David hears, and that's what it was in our text today, David hears that Obed-Edom's house is being very blessed. So he's like, okay, well, maybe it's okay to bring it into Jerusalem now. So he goes, and he's again willing to try to bring the ark into the town. And as part of the procession, David wears this linen ephod, which is actually a priestly garment. So the first thing he does is he puts the ephod on, and then he sacrifices before the ark an ox and a fatted animal. These are both priestly things to do. This is what David is doing here. And then he enters into Jerusalem dancing and leaping for joy in front of the ark in God's presence. Now, David's wife might not have found this behavior very fitting for a king, but God did. God absolutely did. In fact, because of her behavior towards David, God actually struck David's wife, Michal, with barrenness for the rest of her life because of how she had scorned David that day. This week, the third week in Advent, the third Sunday in Advent, we light the pink candle. It is the day for joy, or the week of joy, of rejoicing, and that's our epistle reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's a theme that echoes throughout this whole week. Paul's words, as I said, rejoice in the Lord always. So what's the reason for this perpetual rejoicing, according to Paul? Well, it's because the Lord is at hand. And that truly is a cause for rejoicing, that the Lord is near. We don't have to go up to heaven to search for the Lord and bring him down to us. No, instead, the Lord comes to us. The Lord comes near to us. And that news absolutely should make our hearts leap for joy. But let's face it, we don't often rejoice. Too many times our hearts are numb, or maybe even cold to Jesus' call and to God's presence among us and with us. We're no King David's. And because of that, we often hear the verb stir up in the collects of Advent. Well, at seminary, we always jokingly called them the stirrup prayers. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, is what we have to do. See, instead of we pray that God would stir up our hearts because they really don't respond rightly to his coming. Instead of exploding in joy, our hearts are heavy with the longings and the desires that have nothing to do with God and with the Lord. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, because our hearts too many times are heavy with discontent. We've sunk the roots of our lives into the bitter waters of jealousy, and we've sometimes borne rotten fruit. So we rejoice. What do we rejoice in instead of the Lord? Well, we rejoice in things like retirement, sports, games, maybe even items on a bucket list. But the drawing near of the Lord, well, maybe we'll have time next year for that, to rejoice in that. Our lips may acknowledge him, but our hearts are far from him. Unlike King David, we care far more many times how we appear to others than how we appear to the Lord. And God knows this about us. He knows what our hearts are like. He knows exactly who we are. And guess what? He still desires to be with us. He still wants to be near us. He's still interested in us. In fact, he's so interested in us that he desires to draw near to a whole world of people with sin-heavy hearts and give us all a reason to rejoice. Even in the womb, John the Baptist understood the joy that the Lord gives by sending Jesus in human flesh among us. When pregnant Mary visited pregnant Elizabeth, the unborn child John the Baptist leapt upon hearing the voice of the woman carrying the world's Savior. Something even more wonderful than the Ark of the Covenant had come. How much more reason then do you think it is for John to leap like David? Mary carried in her womb none other than God's presence in human flesh. God in flesh made manifest. Jesus Christ. God was drawing near not just to Jerusalem, but he was actually drawing near to the whole world forever. You see, Jesus was just like us, but he was fully divine. His holy, sinless presence in Mary's womb made her something special. It made her a newer and better bearer of God's presence than the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence among his people there in Israel. Mary carried God's presence within her and God's presence to be here with us. Fully human, fully divine. She bore the new and greater mercy seat, if you will, Christ our Lord, inside of her. Even though many times we turn away from God, what he does and still does, that's what he did then and he still does today, he turns towards us in the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He became man so that he could be stripped and humiliated for our offenses, and so that he could die on the cross to atone for all of our indifference to him. Even though it might not look like it at first glance, the most joyous sight that we could ever see is the promised Son of David drawing near to Jerusalem to die for us. His joy in doing his Father's will was like King David's joy. But Jesus' joy in willingly going to the cross meant salvation for us and restoration to eternal life for him, and a restoration to eternal life with him, a promise of a resurrection. The child who came forth from Mary's womb would also come forth one day from his tomb in triumph over sin and death to reign on the throne of his father David forever. So, what child is this? The answer is enough to make our hearts leap like that unborn John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. What child is this? It's the same God who drew near to King David and made him leap and dance before the Lord with all his might. It's the same God who drew near to John the Baptist and made him leap in his mother's womb. This child is the bringer of joy to this world. Joy in the flesh, the sinner's delight, if you will. He is pure cheer for the heavy-hearted and the depressed and the oppressed. He's the one whose second coming we can only long for, and we continue to long for today. But until then, we rejoice. We rejoice that he still draws near to us in his word and in his sacraments. He comes so near that the forgiveness that he gives through his gospel goes right down into your heart. It stirs it up, it revives it, and it refreshes your hearts. It takes the heart of stone and makes it into a heart of flesh. He comes so near that the word that made John leap takes residence in our hearts. And we can't help but leap with gladness that overflows with love toward others. He comes so near that his Holy Spirit fills our bodies, fills our hearts, and makes us a new creation. Now, he will one day draw near again from his eternal throne, that one final time, and we'll be near to him in the flesh forever. But until then, rejoice. Rejoice, like David and John the Baptist before you, because the Lord is at hand. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.